Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm coming to you with one of the most important commercials that I've ever done. All of you know what MyPillow and myself have gone through in the last 8 months in my efforts to bring the truth forward. Well, now you can help in a couple ways. First, get everyone you know to go to my new media platform, frankspeech.com. There you'll find all the footage from my cyber symposium and many other important broadcasts. Also, I am personally doing a new daily live show to get the truth out. It's at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Secondly, I'm offering some of the best prices ever on MyPillow products, but they're only available on frankspeech.com. Go to frankspeech.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive MyPillow offers. Thank you and God bless.
Make sure and put the code word KATE, K-A-T-E. This will get you up to 66% savings at MyPillow.com. The code word KATE, my first name, K-A-T-E. Help support Mike, help support this show, and help support yourself in getting some amazing, amazing products. These are the best ones I've ever owned. Go to MyPillow.com, code word KATE.
Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. We don't want gun control. We need idiot control. Call 888-673-1450. The show starts now.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Kate Daly Show. So happy to be here live on a Monday. How are you, Uncle Milty?
I'm good, thanks.
Oh, man, what a show. We have Connor Boyack starting this off. We have Suzanne Sherman, and we have Dr. Duke Pesta, and a lot of issues because, my gosh, when the SCOTUS is in session, we get... it's like a barrage of news. And appreciate those words coming into the show. We have Independence Day coming up, not July 4th, Independence Day. And our first guest is Connor Boyack. Connor Boyack has the tremendous books out there, and he's been on the show before. We've talked about his tremendous books and also the Tuttle Twins books, which I have my own set of Tuttle Twins books. I love these books for kids, and they are amazing. If you don't have these, you need them in your home. And welcome to the show, Connor Boyack. How are you?
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it, and I agree. We never call Christmas the 25th of December. Let's call it Independence Day, not the 4th of July.
Amen. And boy, we seem to do it. And it's, you know what? The news does it. Anything the news does, we start to do, right? And so it's kind of interesting anytime the sellout news does something. You have a, we're going to talk a little bit about all kinds of, you know, a little bit about America, a little bit about issues, but you have this exciting book that just came out. Can you just talk about this for a moment? It's about America.
So, you know, about 2.5 years ago, I bought about a dozen social studies textbooks. I wanted to see how young kids throughout schools or in schools throughout America are being taught about early American history. So I bought all these books. They're used by like 80% of the students across the country in public schools. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading through all these books, trying to figure out how are they talking about the founding fathers, the Constitution, the Declaration, and all these things. And the books were amazing in talking about all kinds of superficial things, dates, names, events, mm-hmm. what they wore, what they fought with, full of interesting information.
Right.
All of these books, though, failed, in my estimation, in teaching the ideas, right? In fact, Kate, I'm going to have a little fun with you here.
Sure.
Let's see if you can pass my pop quiz.
Oh, no.
For all the listeners, we didn't do this beforehand.
Oh, no.
So
okay,
I'm
go ahead.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you finish the second half of this statement? Those who don't learn from the past...
will repeat, right?
Yes, okay. Yes, you got it. Uh-huh. Those who don't learn from the past mm-hmm. are doomed to repeat it. That's exactly right.
Yep.
And so... all of these books that I reviewed, they taught kids about the past, mm-hmm. but they did not teach kids to learn from the past.
Good
Is it
point.
Any wonder that we have such high historical illiteracy, that we have people supporting socialism, that the public schools are pumping out these, you know, AOC supporters? So we said, you know what we need? We need a book that teaches, sure, what happened and who said what and things like that. But let's have a book, a history book, that focuses on the ideas, why they did what they did, not just what they did and when they did it. Let's focus on why they did it, why they took on the world's superpower, risked, you know, blood and treasure to fight for freedom and country. And that is the book that we've created, this new Tuttle Twins book that focuses on early American history, but the ideas, so that kids today can learn from the past so we can stop repeating the mistakes of the past.
Oh, I need a copy of this. How amazing. You know, we're so void of our history. They started changing history in 1907. They set out and started to really kind of change the face of it. And they have done a successful job because they've watered it down. Like you said, it's memorization points instead of ideas. It's just memorizing, right? Little bits and pieces that anyone can do, but it's not learning. And this is about learning why. Such an important question as to why did this.
Kate, I had a reporter last week ask me, how are you qualified to write a history book? Are you a historian? And I replied and I said, here's my qualification. I flunked history. I know young Connor knew the wrong way to teach history.
Right.
Young Connor was
That's
bored
great.
To tears with memorizing the things that you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I know what not to do, which means I know what to do. That's what qualifies me.
Oh my gosh, what a great answer.
So that is what we've done. You know, we've got the book now. We've got a curriculum that goes with it. We've got an audiobook and videos and all kinds of stuff, because when I was we've been working on this for like 2 years.
Right.
The whole time I've been thinking of young Connor. I'm like, how do we do this in a way that kids are actually going to find interesting and, more importantly, meaningful to our world today?
Oh, amen to this. What's the name of the book?
So it's called America's History, a Tuttle Twins series of stories, and it's at tuttletwins.com/history.
Perfect. I'm hoping parents will really grab this. And you should have these books in your home. In fact, I've had kids staying at my home, nieces, nephews, things like that. And they'll pick up a Tuttle Twins book and they'll keep reading it. And that is the one. Can I just say, as a parent, that's one of the most amazing things. They don't put it down after 2 seconds. They're reading it because they're really great. And they talk to the kids, talk to them about principles. And there isn't another book series like this. So I love the Tuttle Twins. I just love it. So it's called America, right?
America's history.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's fun for us, Kate, is our books on average, the typical Tuttle Twins books, they're about like 60, 64 pages each. This is like 11 Tuttle Twins books all in one.
Oh,
and so
nice.
There's crazy like illustrations and activities and like discussion prompts. Because what we're finding so often is, and you've seen this experience that you just shared, that the kids are reading it. But what we're also seeing, and this doesn't apply to UK because you know all this stuff already, but so many of these parents who pick up the books, they've never learned these ideas before, right? They just heard from like a mom at their church or down the road, like, hey, get these books for your kids. And so every day we're getting emails from parents, often the moms, and they're like, I'd never learned this stuff in school. I'm learning this alongside my kids for the first time. And so what we are like positioning the Tuttle Twins as is a whole family learning experience. It's like, hey, mom, just read, you know, a chapter after dinner, have some fun discussions. And that's what we're really trying to go for, is those meaningful family conversations.
Fantastic. Connor's also the president of Libertas, and he just has done so many. And you have a cartoon. Are you making this into a cartoon?
And we have a cartoon. Yeah, we have a cartoon now. You can find Tuttle Twins on YouTube. We've got, I think, 9 episodes out already. So
oh
it's
my
like
gosh,
a fun
cool.
Saturday morning kids cartoon where instead of being worried that your kids are going to learn about, you know, trans rights and you know, gender identity and weird stuff, hey, how about they learn about, like, freedom and free markets and some, you know, important principles. And what's fun is it's kind of like maybe like The Simpsons, I mean, back when I watched it like 3 decades ago, where the kids find it funny and silly, but then there's the adult level, like intellectual humor as well.
Good.
So again, like we're shooting for the whole family where the kids are finding it fun and entertaining, but the adults are picking up these fun little like zingers that you'd have to be an adult to understand from context. So that's all on YouTube. It's all free.
Nice.
Or you can download the Angel Studios app and you can watch the cartoon.
I love it. Uncle Milty?
You know, I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but our reading level in this country has dropped so much that a lot of adults will probably get a lot out of this.
Yeah, that's true too.
Well, you'll like this. When people ask me what age the Tuttle Twins books are for, my typical answer is, oh, they're for kids age 5 to 11, members of Congress.
I love it. Well, talk to me a little bit about Independence Day coming up, because I know you've got to have some thoughts, I'm sure, and what's going on in this country.
Well, Kate, I struggle for the past few years. I've struggled with this, where it's like, are we celebrating independence or are we memorializing it?
Right?
Because
the two
are very different.
Yeah,
and
right.
And when I go to these barbecues and I look at, you know, neighborhood parties, and I go and we have fun and all the things, but I look around at my neighbors and I say, I know who you're voting for. I know what you support.
Right.
And I don't feel like you understand independence. I don't think you appreciate it. Right. It's just become this superficial holiday for, like, you know, meat and fireworks.
Yeah.
And hey, that's great. Let's have some fun. But to me, it's almost like a religious or a spiritual, like, deeply important holiday, like reverential, I would say. Mm-hmm. And other people don't really treat it like that. I think we need to have a better American history education so that a holiday like Independence Day, we can celebrate meaningfully, that it will be a representation of what you and I are actively fighting for on a daily basis, right? It's like, do we go to church just on Christmas, or are we go to church throughout the year and trying to be better people?
Exactly.
Similarly, let's not just celebrate independence one day. Let's fight for freedom every single day.
Absolutely. Anything about, let's talk just for a second about, I love what you have to say, though. Are we memorializing it? And barbecues, I mean, it just is amazing to me. Everybody gets into the fireworks and the songs, but what are they doing all year round, you know, to anybody? A monkey can go pull a lever on a voting machine. What we need to do is instill that we're holding feet to the fire, because we're not good at that at all, nor are we looking at records. Talk about the right and the left game just for about a minute, if you can, because I know you have a lot to say about this.
Sorry, Kate, it cut out briefly.
Oh, sorry, the right-left game. The right versus the left.
It's a distraction. It's a total distraction designed to get us, it's the Hegelian dialectic, right? They're always pushing further and pushing further. This is where I tell my conservative friends, what do you actually stand for? And they always say, well, less taxes, smaller government, you know, fewer regulations. And I say, well, when the progressives push us so far left, what does it mean to have less taxes? If they want 90%, are you fighting for 80%?
Right.
Are you fighting for a little bit less than an authoritarian government? We need to understand principle. We need to know where the line is and say, you know, you shall not pass, right? These are my rights. You cannot. We can't just be relative. We need to be absolute. And the left and the right, they're playing the same game, right? It's just a difference of degrees, right? We need to, whatever you want to call yourself. You want to call yourself a libertarian or a freedom fighter, independent. And I don't know. Labels don't matter to me.
Right.
What's important are the ideas, the principles. You need to know where the line is so that when people cross it, whether they're saying inject yourself with this thing or wear this mask or shut down your business or whatever it is, if you don't understand your rights, you'll never be able to defend them. And that's why education is so critical. It's why public school has been failing generations.
Yep.
It's why efforts like yours and mine and others are so critical to get the word out and help people understand our rights so that then together we can defend them.
Amen. The new definition for bipartisan is lose principles. And so we need to be very, very aware of that, too. That gun bill that just passed, Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. I mean, it was just absolutely asinine that they put that in there, bipartisan. And the people have been trained to think bipartisan is nice. No, bipartisan is losing principles when you're a representative of the people and you don't know what they are anymore. So you reach across the aisle. So where do people go to get these, to get America's history? Where can they get it? Connor.
So everyone needs to, before the 4th of July, you're going to want to head to TuttleTwins.com/history. We got a whole bundle for sale. You're going to get a bunch of free bonuses.
Nice.
A really screaming deal. And we want to get that before the 4th of July this week. So TuttleTwins.com/history.
Ah, you're amazing. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate you. And thank you. Thanks, Connor Boyack.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. All right, take care.
Day.
What's that? Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. Kate Daly Show, Don't Go Anywhere with Suzanne Sherman.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time. I truly, truly love the product. It has kept me going. I mean, I'm 70 and I'm still out here fighting fire because I'm in and out of a truck. I'm dragging fire hose. I just feel better all over, and my mind, I seem more in tune to my situational awareness, like what's going on around me. And, you know, because we have to have heads up most of the time. But I find it easier to do all these things.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature right now. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com for more information or to place your order. Shipping is always free. And don't forget to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with light from above.
Oh, I love this version. This is Ben Honeycutt and God Bless America. Great acoustic version. And I appreciate you listening in on this week as the precursor to Independence Day, not 4th of July. Independence Day, very, very important. And so grateful to all of you. I used to be in the habit of calling it July 4th, too. And every time I think about it, I just think what a serious error that is and how we need to be correcting that error all the time. When the media says July 4th all the time, it's amazing because it gets in your head. And so Independence Day, the most important holiday, that and Christmas, right? And so welcome back to the show. MyPillow, make sure you get over to MyPillow. MyPillow has been such a fantastic sponsor of the show. And also you can still get stuff 90% off. Use the code KATE and get some slippers. And they have even a new kind now. Get some sheets, get some pillows. The pillows are down to $19. This is the time to buy them for every bed in your home. They are fantastic, and I love their products. I can't say enough about them. They're mattresses and mattress toppers you really need to check out if you're looking for a new mattress, because they are fantastic. I own them, and they are great. My guest is Suzanne C. Sherman. How are you, constitutional attorney? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back, Kate.
I am so glad to have you back. I got Uncle Milty here. We're going to have some interesting learning happen in this next 40 minutes. And a big thank you to Connor Boyack for coming on and talking about American History, the new Tuttle Twins book. I hope everybody gets that, too. So tell us, okay, obviously, so many news stories, I don't know where to start. Let's go right away, because it seems to be low-hanging fruit since they want to ignore the gun bill, the media, the abortion, the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Let's talk about this. Shall we?
Well,
what are your
again,
thoughts?
The language that's used is the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which to the mainstream consumer of corporate media is, oh my God, now abortion's going to be banished across this, you know, continental landmass. And that's mm-hmm. absolutely not the case. Mm-hmm. What they properly did was right a previous couple of wrongs, which was the Casey versus the Planned Parenthood case and Roe, which never were properly before the Supreme Court in the first place. Again, this was made up substantive due rights, which came from the 14th Amendment, which was never intended to create this other, you know, plethora of all these rights that never existed before, but mm-hmm. served to do one thing, and that was to expand the scope and power and reach of the general government in contravention to founding principles.
Amen. So what do you want people to understand as far as, like you said, the consumer out there, that everybody is tearfully, abortion's over and it's ended. And of course, they've got the left riled up because they really want to murder babies, to get to the point where they're enraged over something that's been taken from them. Do you want to correct that?
Yeah, I tell them to take a chill pill, because honestly, abortion's never been safer, because now that it's gone back to the states, mm-hmm. There are some states that will never have to be subject to federal control over this. Imagine the extremely uncertain or unlikely example of conservatism taking over the general government, where, and even Mitch McConnell had said, now that it's been overturned, we can ban it across the nation. And Nancy Pelosi's being equally stupid, saying that Congress is going to pass a law legally legalizing it across. Neither side has the authority to implement that. So in the states where abortion is existing, they can rest easy knowing that the federal government will ever step in and ban the procedure.
Jeez. Oh, there's just so much misinformation about it. It is insane. Now, the trigger laws, why are they called trigger laws? It's very, very weird. But trigger laws, it may be trying to trigger everybody. I don't know. Trigger laws, and these are going up. And are they in for, obviously, they're civil liberties groups for the leftist want to go in and are going in today to file scheduled hearings and everything else immediately so they can get the. So what were you? I know you were laughing about this, right? It's kind of amusing.
Yeah. You know, we're saying, so the Supreme Court, the highest federal court in the land now, has already adjudicated the fact that this always properly belonged to the state. So now they're going to run back to the same federal judiciary and tell them to overturn themselves. And it's not going to happen. You know, and the thing about the trigger laws, I just find that they're absolutely ridiculous because, and a friend of mine, when I was gone this weekend, I was talking to him, I'm not going to reveal what his position is, but he's very high up in Utah's AG office. And he was telling me about these trigger laws and how Utah has one that's ready to go into effect. Mm-hmm. And the point is, the trigger laws were unnecessary. They could have passed these laws at any given time. In fact, they were obligated to. If that's what the people in these states wanted to ban abortion or restrict it, they had the power all along. I feel like the Good Witch saying, you had the power all along.
No, it's true, though. Because, for 49 years, they could have done this. Yeah.
This was never within the powers delegated to the general government to regulate abortion. And as Thomas Jefferson said, the 10th Amendment is the cornerstone of the Constitution. And any laws going beyond the delegated powers of the general government are null and void. They have no legal effect. Case in point, look at all the states who have thumbed their noses at the marijuana laws, at the Controlled Substances Act. They didn't have any trigger laws. They just went and did it.
So true. Oh, for 49 years, if anything, people should be very angry that they were lied to by the press and by government who said their hands were tied for 49 years. They should be really angry.
And they should be ashamed at themselves for not doing some more research and learning the truth themselves. You know, even though that might have been around before the internet, that happened before the internet, we have these things called libraries. All of these issues are a matter of historical records, the ratification documents. Instead, what they did was just, you know, swallow hook, line, and sinker what was spoon-fed to them in the public education system or these nitwit mobs on the you know, mainstream media, and they go, well, that must be the case, and not taking the time to educate themselves. So instead of being happy, they should be a little bit embarrassed and a lot of bit ashamed.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And so tell us about this gun bill that nobody seems to be talking about. They even put the word bipartisan on it just to make it look like we're all in agreement, which they always are. So a huge gun bill passes and we have red flag. Tell us about that bill.
I haven't read all the details, but essentially what they're doing is going to have increased background checks, particularly for adults between the ages of 18 and 21. And then I believe they're expanding the marital domestic violence into dating relationships, which has been, I think, proposed in some states, like in California, for instance. But now what they're doing is nationalizing it. And this is, you know, a concern because what they're doing is every time we have something like this happen, and we have a ratcheting effect where more of our pre-existing, not constitutional gun rights are being infringed upon. And another example, I think this was in 1996 or in the 90s, the Lauenberg Amendment to the Federal Firearms Act, I believe it was. And that ensnared beyond felons, misdemeanor cases and instances of domestic violence. Now they're bringing in dating relationships. I wonder if anybody considered the fact that many dating relationships simply don't work out. One person's feelings get hurt. What's to stop somebody from reporting, a partner or a temporary partner that they feel they've been jilted by? This is just another means of casting a wider net that's going to ensnare more law-abiding gun-owning citizens.
And you do not get due process. So that tip comes in, or the law enforcement creates a tip, because let's be honest, they will create a tip against somebody if they want to go in and get their guns. There's no due process at all. Nothing. They just go in and take them?
Absolutely. But before you get too mad at the Biden administration, remember the previous president who also liked them and also said, I like to get the guns early. So this really should be, a fight against both parties. So I would blame the previous administration also for, during Trump's administration, people were making exceptions and apologies for him. And now they're outraged because Biden did what Trump said he would do.
That's interesting. I know. And we can't stand King Fraud a lot. Or any of his cohorts. But truly, this has been kind of an ongoing thing. And so the red flag, they've been trying in the states to push this, but federally now, when they passed this, it was about the senators, the traitorous little senators, saying, we're going to do this on steroids. Uncle Milty?
You know, the red flag laws kind of let the assault weapons off the hook a little and create it for all weapons. Because if somebody writes, says, hey, this guy has a gun, it doesn't matter kind of gun it is.
Yeah, you're right. What are your thoughts, Suzanne?
Well, and this was my criticism of the case of Heller, where the gun rights advocates say that this was absolutely a victory for gun owners in America. And I said, no, it is not, because what Scalia essentially said was, what kind of gun is protected by the Second Amendment? And he really limited it to the handgun by focusing on that handgun is protected by the First Amendment. By omission now, the so-called assault rifles are ripe for being taken. And we've seen, as I discuss in my book, Federalism, How Decentralization Can Save America. This is a big omission, because even not long thereafter, in the state of Massachusetts, they were banning these guns and used Heller as a justification. Well, the Constitution says that handguns are protected, but assault rifles aren't, so we're going to ban them. And they use that as their justification.
I know that if someone wants to assault me with a firearm, I prefer it be a pistol over a rifle.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that. Really appreciate that. Man alive. So this bill, this bipartisan Safer Communities Act that got zero attention from the press because the abortion was center in headlines, when really all that really did was expose that the states have all the power all along. So this bill is going to put some money behind, go to the states to get them to do these red flags, or are they, is it something else?
I think that that's exactly how they're going to do it, with grants and with and threatening to withhold federal funding. I mean, that's how they got, remember, the speed limit, the national speed limits passed, as well as the alcohol, 21 years of age nationally for drinking alcohol. I mean, anything the feds want to get the states to do that they can't pass by either a constitutional amendment or
edict.
A law, which, edict, exactly. Yeah, they're just going to do by bribes, pure and simple. There is an example I gave of a school district south of Salt Lake City who wanted to get out of Common Core. I think I've shared this example with you before, because they were concerned about the well-being of the students' education. Mm-hmm. And when the Fed said, that's fine, but if you don't want to go along with this, then we're simply going to take away your funding. And they did an immediate about face and said all of a sudden that the kids' education was most important. What was most important was their budget and their disingenuous attempts to make it seem like it was, otherwise shouldn't have fooled anybody.
Right. Uncle Milton.
Over the weekend, I was thinking, I wonder why they haven't called back for the national speed limit of 55 miles an hour again.
Oh, dear. And so we're talking with Suzanne C. Sherman. The reason I say that is you can go to her website, SuzanneCSherman.com. And she also has a wonderful podcast called The Red Hot Chili Prepper. And she talks about prepping a lot. And I know that's a hot topic with our audience. And so make sure you get over there, because she's got a wonderful new book. What's the name of the book, Suzanne?
I've got a couple out in the Red Hot Chili Prepper survival series. One is called Food Preservation Strategies, and the other is Doomsday Dining Recipes from Camp Apocalypse. So I tell you, first of all, how to come up with a comprehensive food storage program, not just getting a bunch of dried beans, a bunch of flour, and then everything collapses. Now you don't know what to do with it. But I actually give you recipes that your family's going to love, tell you how to get that going. And then again, I have to thank the Supreme Court, everything going on. My book, Federalism, How Decentralization Can Save America, has made it to Amazon's general constitutional law category in the top 100, and that doesn't, and it's no longer in the new releases.
So cool. Federalism.
Really,
I love it. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere. More with Suzanne when we come back. Hi, everybody. This is Kate. Hey, go to preparewithkate.com. Right now, you can get some food storage in your home, and you can get such a savings on it. You can get a 3-month supply with $150 off, or you can get a 4-day supply for $297. There's some great deals right now, and the best part is you can actually pay over time, but get it in your house right now. So I'm really letting you guys know, preparewithkate.com. It puts you right into Patriot Supply. They're a fantastic company with fantastic products. And I urge you to go ahead and get some food now, as prices are going to be doubling and scarcity is going to be happening. So please get some food under your roof. Preparewithkate.com. Thanks. Hi, everybody. Go to the bottom of my homepage. You're going to see an ad for Z-Stack, Dr. Zelenko's new vitamin supplement that combines zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. All of those things that we talk about on the show, he has combined them into one supplement. Dr. Zelenko is a board certified physician in New York. He was the one that gave ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to Trump and told him about that. And he was really the guy that started the frontline doctors. Dr. Zelenko formulated the Support Your Immune Function supplement. Zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Take this every day. This is a great combination of a supplement that you can take of all the things we talk about on the show. This is an amazing product to keep you well, and make sure that you go get this. This is also manufactured in the USA. Head and order this. Go to the bottom of my homepage at katedalyradio.com. Guys.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
My home, sweet home. God bless America. My home, sweet home.
Love it. Ben Honeycutt, God Bless America Acoustic. And welcome back to the show. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature is the product I hope everybody has. I hope you're taking it every day. I hope you're helping your own immune system with all the stuff that's coming at us. And I could name off 15 things right now that are coming at us. You have got to preserve and to build up your immune system. Please get Balance of Nature. It's 3 veggie caps, 3 fruit caps, 31 fruits and vegetables. And I know that little tomato on your hamburger today from whatever fast food joint is not even considered a serving. So you can have 31 servings a day with this. And so get balanceofnature.com. Go to balanceofnature.com, okay? And then put in the code Kate. And then you're going to get up to 35% off and free shipping. And if you don't like it, send it back. But you're going to try it. I promise you, you're going to love this. And in about a week and a half, right, Uncle Milty? About a week and a half, you'll start to feel totally different, and you'll start to feel so much healthier. You'll notice all the differences. Go to balanceofnature.com. I cannot speak highly enough about it. And so we're back with Suzanne C. Sherman of SuzanneCSherman.com. And of course, she's fantastic. And you got to check out her show, Red Hot Chili Prepper, too, because she has a whole life built around, and she lives what she's talking about, by the way, in prepping. So welcome back to the show, Suzanne, and what a fantastic segment with you, because you're bringing to light, this is not about parties. This is about what is SCOTUS doing, what are we doing here in America, and what is the power of the states, which we always do not understand that we do not use our power. And so let's talk the McDonald case real quick.
Yeah, one of the things I point out in my book, Federalism, is we really need to look at what was intended when the Constitution was passed. And there's a difference between true originalism and case law, which is unfortunately what is relied upon. And the result of that is every time the Supreme Court gathers, we have what is tantamount to a constitutional convention, only the states are prohibited from participating. So in the case that is hailed as another victory, this was in 2010, right on the heels of 2008's Heller case, was McDonald versus the city of Chicago, which effectively enforced the Second Amendment, or what we call the term incorporated the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights against the states. Now, gun rights advocates will say, fantastic, this is wonderful. And after the Roe case was overturned, I said, and Casey, next up, McDonald. And I say that because I'm consistent. I am not letting my policy preferences guide how we should interpret this. So I asked people, what would happen if McDonald was overturned? And they start, you know, start really thinking about this. Wow, any state can pass concealed carry laws, or people could carry with, you know, and this all depends on the state constitution. So they're starting to think about this from a state level. But I said, keep thinking, dig deeper. This would render the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives obsolete. If that was overturned, every state right now that wanted to can say no more FFL requirements, no more ATF Form 4473, no more federal stamps if you want to have a full auto or a suppressor. And the feds are out of it completely, as they always should have been. We don't need trigger laws for this. The states always had that. But now that the compliant states who rely on these federal grants, if that was overturned, that would be the effect. So I asked myself, why do we have this difference here in the Roe case? That was the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, let's call it by its real name. Why did they revert back to the states? But when it came to the New York Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, which this court struck down their May issued discretionary policies with regards to concealed carry, because if they were going to be consistent, they would have upheld New York's restrictive draconian gun regulations, because that is federalism. I think they were too cowardly to share their true feelings on the abortion issue, so they kept their feelings out of it, which they should have done all along. But now they get into, again, their feelings and their policy preferences for the New York gun case, and they strike a blow against federalism and strike down the state law. The feds have zero authority to regulate firearms at all. That also means they have zero authority to strike down any state firearms laws. So this is called the incorporation doctrine. It is unhistoric. And even though people will say, well, it's in the Constitution, that right's in the Constitution, so they have to enforce it against the states. And that's absolutely incorrect, because all the Second Amendment was intended to do was reiterate the fact that under Article 1, Section 8, there is no delegated authority for the general government to regulate firearms at all. So if they had struck that down, that would have obviated the need for a substantially large government bureaucracy that is very powerful.
And we do this a lot. We ask for more and more and more from them, right? To give us the to give us the verdicts on everything, the rulings on, I hate that word ruling, because Supreme Court doesn't even use ruling. The press does in everything they do. Ruling, ruling, ruling. But it is kind of interesting that the more government we ask for, the more government we get. And we don't want there to be more government, but for some reason we keep getting more because of this. We keep asking them to chime in.
Look at all the complaints we've had from the current administration. We don't have faith in the outcome of the election. I wouldn't have had faith in the outcome had it happened and Trump had won under these circumstances. We've seen we have essentially a dementia patient being led around. You know, he's a puppet on a string, really, if you think about it. We've seen the corruption. We've seen all this. Yet people are cheering when the same federal government is getting more power. So, and just because you like the fact that this New York gun law was struck down, you are empowering the general government. And when you use the incorporation doctrine to do that, and shame on any attorney who says that they understand the Constitution that celebrates this law. If you hear that, they are peddling snake oil.
Ooh, love it. Thank you.
Shots fired.
Yeah, seriously. Uncle Mildy?
But if it only saves one life.
If it only saves one life. Oh, my gosh. No, it's so true about that, though. I am so glad that you just said that, truly. So when you see this prayer, the Supreme Court with the prayer, everybody's first inclination is to be like, oh, good. Somebody valued somebody saying a prayer on a field. What's your take on the case?
Same thing as New York. Yep. This is a state issue. This is the only authority to have redress for this and to hear this case is the state in which it took place. And this is what happens. And they teach this in law school. And again, I explain this in my book, Federalism. And I say this is really the malfeasance of the legal education industry. They'll say that something's ripe for review for the federal judiciary and ultimately the Supreme Court if it's a constitutional question. Well, then if anything involves any kind of speech, any kind of prey or any kind of guns, any kind of whatever going through. And I explain this in my book, First, Second, Fourth Amendment, Criminal Justice, Immigration, and just emotionalism. This is what happens. You forget what was intended and inadvertently grant this government that is shown to be absolutely corrupt more and more power. And this is what needs to stop.
Yeah. The idea go ahead.
Oh, because they're saying, well, it's a First Amendment issue, and it isn't. What they're saying is because he's praying, yes, mm-hmm. What they're saying is this is not an establishment of a religion, and that's what the court said to justify. It was a private prayer, and the school, even the district, even though they disagreed with it and asked him not to do it, by allowing it to happen before they stopped it, that it was not an establishment of religion, and that's the establishment clause of the First Amendment. But again, the Bill of Rights was intended to apply to the states, and for those are not intended to apply to the states, but to the general government. And for those who don't believe me, I remind them, John Marshall, he was a nationalist. He wanted the very strong government that we have right now. In a case, Barron versus Baltimore, that took place in 1833, he said that the amendments contain no expression indicating an intention to apply them to state governments. This court cannot so apply them. He was at the Virginia ratification conventions, and this record is clearly available for anybody that wants to take the time to read. It wasn't until 1925. In the case of Gitlow versus New York, that they started incorporating the Bill of Rights against the states by using the 14th Amendment. And shame on any attorney that says this is okay.
Ooh, love it. Okay, I've got a caller for you. Go ahead, caller. A quick question for Suzanne?
Quick one. Hey, so I'm thinking because this abortion has come back to the states, passing laws is one thing. I say we should do it as amendments to our Constitution and put it as a vote to the people and actually put real teeth to it and make it very hard to overturn it and change it, since now it can become a constitutional right or non-right in a state.
Okay. Let me, Suzanne?
Are we talking about, I'm not sure what he's saying, because that's okay. Effectively been done by this Supreme Court decision handing it back to the states. So, the constitutional amendment he might be referring to is probably already covered under the 10th Amendment, I would say.
Uncle,
I think he means the state constitution versus just legislation.
Caller?
Oh, I see what you're saying, in the state constitutions.
Yes,
well, they
that's
can
what
do
I
that
mean,
too.
Is a state constitutional amendment now that we can do in states across the nation, because it's now a state's right. And not put a law, an amendment to the state constitution that is more teeth
any state
than a law.
Because we're national, we're in all so many places. Okay, all right. What are your thoughts, Suzanne?
It's up to the state legislatures. It's up to whatever they want to do. I guess if they want to have it in their state constitution to say that mm-hmm. abortion will never be outlawed or can never be banned, I mean, one way or the other, that's up to the states.
Right. And I just would hope that if somebody murders a baby, that they would absolutely get the same thing as murdering somebody outside of the womb, too. That's what I want. I am firmly against abortion, and but I'm probably to the extreme against abortion. But I am looking at this country, and this country is just, it's been for 50 years, we've been told also a lot of lies that the Supreme Court passed some sort of law, everything else to make it legal. And that is not true. It was an opinion on a Texas case, right? So what we're looking at is a lot of people who think that the government is going to control whether or not you kill your baby or not. But I do not think, I think it should be, I think it's criminal to murder a baby or murder a person that's outside of the womb. But I know I'm in the extreme.
And I would also want to encourage Republicans and conservatives to mm-hmm. exercise some restraint when they start passing these laws. I've seen one, I don't know if it was Missouri, if that's mm-hmm. coming to mind, where they want to make it a criminal offense to take a woman across state lines mm-hmm. to have an abortion. And people might think, well, that's fantastic. But then you're giving the state the power to qualify your reasons for crossing state lines. Mm-hmm. Also, I know in New York, what my friend was telling me, it would take away the licenses of doctors that are planning, that are performing these abortions. Well, now you are inviting the state into your pregnancies? Are you, do you have to let them know if there's a pregnancy and if there's no delivery date and you've seen a doctor's care? Are they going to go in there and then reach out and want to know what happened to that baby? And if you've suffered a miscarriage, do you really want to explain that?
All right.
Them?
So we have another caller. Go right ahead, caller. Quick question.
Yes, Suzanne, in the ruling, Alioto, I'm talking about the New York gun ruling, the majority opinion, he wrote, to justify the firearm regulation, the government must demonstrate that the regulation is consistent with the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. Where in the Constitution of the United States does it say you're supposed to restrict gun rights based on what's historical or traditional?
Thank you.
You know,
that.
These guys like to wax eloquent. It makes themselves it makes them sound intelligent, but all they really have to do is say this is not a case properly before us. Like I said in my book, this is, you know, because Scalia is hailed as a textualist. The Constitution says what it means what he says, but he took 63 pages to explain the Second Amendment, which is one sentence, and he still screwed it up.
So, all right. So with about a minute left, and by the way, go to Suzanne C. Sherman for more on this, the book Federalism, Red Hot Chili Prepping. I mean, you've got the podcast, you've got books on it. You must get her books. They're fantastic because she lives it. And she knows what she's talking about. But anything else you'd like people to know in the last 45 seconds?
Yeah, I cover federalism extensively on my other podcast, The Wasatch Report. I don't want to be a one trick pony, but gosh darn it, you know, this is really taken in the news. So yeah, I appreciate it. SuzanneCSherman.com, my podcast, and my books are all on there, from preparedness to federalism. I really appreciate you having me on, Kate.
Thanks. It's always a breath of fresh air to have you on and to be able to hear what you're getting out of this and what you're seeing in the headlines versus the truth about what's in the law. And this is something that they have had a concerted effort for so many decades now to dumb us down to the point of ridiculousness now. And so the things that people are saying out there are just insane. And I'm so glad that you can help clear some of these things up. Thank you so much for coming
on. Thanks, Kate.
You're the best. Thank you, Suzanne. And of course, we'll be right back with Dr. Duke Festa. Don't go anywhere. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world one life at a time.
Let me tell you something. This is no lie. And I saw your advertisement, and I dialed that number that came on, and I cannot believe this, because I'm a skeptic, number one. I'm holistic, number two. I'm a hospice nurse, number three. And I want to tell you how wonderful it is, the things I can do now that I couldn't do before. My daughter came up to see me from another state, and she said, Mom, what happened? I said, I took those vitamins that they're advertising on TV all the time. And she said, I can't believe what you're doing. So I just love your product. I just think it's absolutely sensational.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.